Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mrs. Feminist Podcast. I'm so excited to have you. I'm sitting here in my fancy podcast recording studio. That's just actually our TV room with Casey on my lap. So if you start to hear like licking, scratching, I swear it is not me. It is all her, and she already looks guilty. So she's going to be on her best behavior. I'm really excited to have you back. Thank you for tuning in. While you're getting settled, just hit that subscribe button. That way, every time a new episode comes out, it'll come straight to your phone. It makes it super easy. You can also leave a review to help others find the Mrs. Feminist Podcast. So definitely do that as well, because every little bit helps. So today I am so excited to talk about Malala Yousafzai, but first I want to introduce a new segment. So at the top of each episode, we're going to be sharing exciting news from across the globe of cool things that women and men are doing in the field of gender equality and feminism, just things that are bringing more good into the world. So I don't really know what to call this segment. We should probably come up with like a snappy title for it. So if you have ideas, hit me up on Instagram. I'll do a little poll thing asking for ideas, suggestions. So follow me on Instagram, Allie Wolf. What a subtle way to make that plug. It's AliWOOLFE. So make sure to do that if you've got some good ideas. But first up, let's talk about this stuff. So today marks the very first all-female spacewalk. Bow, 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 bow. Like I need a sound effect for celebration. CNN writes, NASA astronauts Jessica Meir and Christina Koch conducted the first all-female spacewalk outside of the International Space Station. The spacewalk officially began at 7:38 a.m. and lasted for 7 hours. 7 hours, you guys, of being floating in space, which apparently is like the most physically rigorous thing astronauts do. So I can't imagine. That sounds like a lot of work. The spacewalk went well, according to both astronauts, and they were even able to accomplish some get-ahead tasks on the station. So they even got a call from President Donald Trump. That's kind of cool. CNN reports that Trump said, "The job that you do is incredible. I'm thrilled to be speaking with two brave American astronauts making history. This is the first time for a woman outside of the space station. I just want to congratulate you. You are very brave people. You are amazing people." The women were very excited to hear from him, but they did clarify that women have been outside the spaceships and space shuttles before. This is just the first time it's been two women doing spacewalks. So usually, historically, it's always been like two guys or a guy and a girl. So this is the first time for two women ever. That's pretty cool. You might recall that back in March, this was supposed to happen, but there weren't properly fitted spacesuits for the two women to be able to go out together. Which at first I was like, that's ridiculous. But apparently, when you do your training, they outfit the space shuttle with whatever size suit you did your training in. But the one lady, McLean, she trained in a couple different suit sizes. And then also apparently when you get to space, your sizing preference might change. So it was a little bit chaotic that way and it just didn't work out. But this time they wanted to make it happen. They were like, this will work. So Coach. It's K-O-C-H. She modified a suit on board using just extra material she could find in order to make today's walk possible. So she was like, no worries, I got this. We're making this happen. And Meir says, what we're doing now shows all the work that went into decades prior, all of the women that worked to get us where we are today. I think the nice thing for us is we don't even really think about it on a daily basis. It's just normal. We're part of the team and we're doing this work as an efficient team working together with everyone else. So it's really nice to see how far we've come. I just love this because it's a good reminder that these moments are a really big deal. But even normal moments are largely thanks to the hard work of the women that came before us. So we can never say that feminism is useless because it was very useful and continues to be in getting us where we are today. So another exciting story, because it's super local for me, is that just 3 hours from where I live in Edmonton, Alberta, Greta Thunberg is leading a climate strike. Can't believe she's in Alberta, all the way from Switzerland. She's advocating that young people demand politicians recognize the importance of action against climate change and start making changes so that this beautiful world can last a very long time. This has been kind of somewhat controversial, not even somewhat, it's been very controversial here in Alberta, because our main industry is oil and gas. But what I'm really proud of for Alberta is that we produce the cleanest oil and gas in the entire world. So we have crazy, crazy high standards for how we collect the oil, and especially what we do with the land and the environment once we kind of pull out and once the oil's been all collected. I don't know the right terminology. I'm actually friends with someone whose entire job it is to go to places where oil was collected and calculate the environmental impact, and then essentially take part in taking that report to the oil companies and advising them on how the land can be reclaimed. And every oil company is forced to do that process. So they have to invest. It's like, hey, you want this oil? Well, you better clean up after yourself. That doesn't happen everywhere. So they do things like planting trees, making sure all the equipment is taken down, removed, and recycled, and then setting up protections for the area so that it can kind of come back to its former glory. So I'm really proud to be Albertan and to have family and friends who are involved in doing this right. I'm also really excited about how Alberta is starting to shift towards renewable energy, not all at once, but doing it in a way where there won't be mass layoffs, where people can keep their jobs, where there will be more jobs created, in fact, and just kind of making that transition, because the oil and gas industry isn't going to last forever. So anyways, Greta is here to make the world great, get it again? She's incredible, and I really wish I could have been there today to support her, so we're going to do an entire episode on her, so you can just wait for that. But today she said in her speech, "Today is Friday, and as always, we are on climate strike. Young people all around the globe are today sacrificing their education to bring attention to the climate and ecological emergency. And we are not doing this because we want to. We aren't doing it because it's fun. We aren't doing it because we have a special interest in the climate or because we want to become politicians when we grow up. We are doing this because our future is at stake." And whether you want to fight the term climate crisis or not, I think it's a really honorable thing that Greta's doing. So she's standing up for what she believes in. She's actively trying to make a world a nicer place, and she's leading by example. And I'm very proud of her, and it makes me very emotional. So that's all I'm going to say. Today, we are talking about Malala. She is, simply put, a badass. Here in North America, we have just such immense privilege. It's really easy for us to say, oh, things are great for women, stop complaining. But to that, I protest twice. So my first issue is the moment we stop fighting for what is rightfully ours is the moment those rights start to go away. So we can't let up on the gas, not for a moment. This goes for everything. So democratic rights, gender rights, religious freedoms, etc. So we can't take our eye off the ball, because unfortunately we can't always trust those in powers to keep focused and to not just start like secretly removing rights. Also, the other issue is that we have it really good here in Canada, but that's not the case for women in other parts of the world who are really suffering. Casey just sighed, which was very timely, because yeah, it's really frustrating. It feels like it's 2019. How come we all haven't gotten our crap together yet? But yeah, in a lot of places, women don't have equal access to education. So our taken for granted realities are their dreams. And one of these dreams that are taken for granted here is education. When I was in elementary school, my biggest concern was if the cute boy had a crush on Sean McClelland, liked me back, and if I needed a winter coat that day, or if just a sweater would suffice, if I had the right pencil crayons, if I was missing that shade of pink because I lent it to Darian and I never got it back. But growing up, Malala's biggest concern going to elementary school was whether or not she was going to make it there alive. And if she did, what would happen when they found out that she had? 130 million girls worldwide do not have access to equal education, but Malala is on a mission to change that. So, this is the Mrs. Feminist Podcast, and today we are talking about Malala. One summer, one city, one dream, one world-famous boy band. Mackenzie Tanner was happy to spend her summer in Nashville pursuing her dreams of making music without any interruptions. And then she met world-famous boy band Dear Juliet. Suddenly, Mackenzie is thrown into an adventure that has her living all of the experiences she only ever wrote songs about. A whirlwind romance and a boy who always gets what he wants turns Mackenzie's summer into the biggest, scariest adventure of her life. Tangled in Tennessee, the debut novel by Alexandra Holden, a close personal friend, is available online as an ebook and in paperback. Get it on Amazon today. Hey guys, it's Allie here. Every 2 months, we're going to be raising money for a new cause that supports the mission of feminism. For October and November, we have chosen the Malala Fund. On their website, they write, "Your gift today is an investment in Malala Fund programs that help girls around the world go to school. From creating safe spaces for girls in northern Nigeria, to training young Pakistani women as activists, and providing STEM education to Syrian refugees." So I want to encourage you guys to consider donating today. For the months of October and November 2019, for every review the Mrs. Feminist Podcast receives on Apple Podcasts, we will be donating $1 to the Malala Fund. So leave a review. It's super easy. Make sure you do that today. The other thing you can do is you can visit my Etsy shop. I've put the link in the description to this episode to find a special digital download of my favorite Malala quote, which is, "Let us pick up our books and our pens. They are the most powerful weapons." This print is $5 and the proceeds will also be donated to the Malala Fund. So get connected today. So Malala writes, "I raise up my voice, not so I can shout, but so that those without a voice can be heard. We cannot succeed when half of us are held back." Malala has been an advocate ever since she was a little girl. She was born in Mingora, Pakistan on July 12, 1997. She writes on her website, malalafund.org, "Welcoming a baby girl is not always cause for celebration in Pakistan, but my father, Ziauddin, was determined to give me every opportunity a boy would have." So she has two younger brothers and was named after a famous poet and female warrior from Afghanistan, which is very interesting since now she uses her words and is a total warrior. Biography.com notes, "For the first few years of her life, Malala's hometown remained a popular tourist spot that was known for its summer festivals. The area began to change as the Taliban tried to take control. Malala attended a school that her father, educator, had founded. After the Taliban began attacking girls' schools in Swat, Malala gave a speech in Peshawar, Pakistan, in September 2008. The title of her talk was, 'How Dare the Taliban Take Away My Basic Right to an Education.'" I love that she was like, it wasn't like dreams and feelings and hopes. It was like, "How dare you? This is wrong. You suck." She's a girl after my own heart. So at 11 years old, she was already making waves. She was nominated for an International Children's Peace Prize in 2011. All I was doing in 2011 was petting dogs and being in the school place. So she was doing a really good job. That same year, she was awarded Pakistan's National Youth Peace Prize. So she began writing as a correspondent for BBC under a pen name discussing the Taliban's attempts to deny women education. She was soon kind of outed as the writer, and that's when the Taliban issued a warrant for her death. Now, we all know the Taliban hates women, but if you're like me, you might be asking, why? So they claim to be pushing towards this, like, better Islamic states, kind of, but Islam is very clearly supportive of women's education. The Quran states explicitly that girls and boys should have equal freedoms and rights to pursue knowledge. So I was doing some research and I found this really good article by Muhammad Hanif, and he writes for The Guardian. Whatever sad destiny Pakistan may be hurtling towards, there's one thing standing between Pakistan and the Taliban's dreams of heaven on earth. The number of women who have been to school and the number of women who couldn't go to school but are determined to send their daughters to school, no matter the economic imperative. Whatever your ideas about a good Muslim girl, you can't really lock up 90 million of them behind closed doors. There are apologists, speaking about the Taliban here, their apologists and political parties may try to prove that girls' education is an invention of the infidels, but the Taliban seem to know what they're talking about. An educated female population is more threatening to them than armies equipped with all-seeing drones. Every girl who crams for a high school exam, every woman who runs a hospital, and every semi-educated mother who makes sure her daughter gets a better education than she herself received is a mortal threat to the Taliban. It's a really interesting theory. The Taliban knows its reign in patriarchy is threatened by women. So if they can cut off access to women's education, then girls won't learn about their rights or how things should or could be. So they'll be forced to turn to the men and the Taliban for answers. The best way to keep a population under control is to deny them education completely or to completely modify their education, kind of like what Hitler did during World War II by introducing pure Nazi curriculum. So women are a threat because women are powerful, especially when they come together. The Taliban isn't just annoyed by women or like, oh, whatever, they should just stay at home and cook for us. They're scared. They are terrified of women. Malala writes, I spoke out publicly on behalf of girls and our right to learn, and this made me a target. In October 2012, on my way home from school, a masked gunman boarded my bus and asked, who is Malala? So he comes on the bus, he says, who is Malala? All of her classmates kind of nervously look towards her. That tips him off, and he shoots her. On the left side of her head. And actually, two other girls were injured during this, too. So the bullet traveled through her head, kind of downwards towards her neck. But she survived. So she was flown to Cambridge, England, where she was treated and underwent just months of surgeries to recover from the wound and all the nerve damage. She fought like hell to survive, and the world was with her. Protesters gathered everywhere to demand women's access to education and safety, and global attention was brought to Pakistan's crisis. I remember when this happened and hearing about it and just being outraged and just being like, this is ridiculous. This girl is just talking about how she should be able to go to school and they shot her in the head. Are you kidding me? It truly was global. Like, here in Alberta, we're probably on basically the opposite side of the world from Pakistan, and it traveled all the way over here and back again. Everyone heard about this. You probably did too. So Biography.com writes, 9 months after being shot by the Taliban, Malala gave a speech at the United Nations on her 16th birthday in 2013. She highlighted her focus on education and women's rights, urging world leaders to change their policies. Following the attack, Malala said that the terrorists thought they would change our aims and stop our ambitions, but nothing changed in my life except this. Weakness, fear, and hopelessness died. Strength, power, and courage were born. So she literally just got shot in the head for speaking out. And instead of being like, okay, I'm sorry, I'll take the hint, I won't say anything more, I don't want to get shot in the head again, she was like, no, screw you. Now I'm going to talk even more. And in fact, this really backfired on you guys because you shooting me in the head brought global attention to me, and now I'm going to use that. So Malala and her father started the Malala Fund in 2013 to champion every girl's right to education. And their big thing is just having those 12 years of free, safe, quality education. So post-secondary, university, that type of stuff, that's kind of the next step. But the big thing they're saying is, at the very minimum, let's give kids access to primary education. Like, that should be just a basic. So they have three goals that are stated as follows on their website. So first, through our Gulmakai network, we invest in local educators and advocates, the people who best understand girls in their communities and regions where the most girls are missing out on secondary school. We advocate at local, national, and international levels for resources and policy changes needed to give all girls a secondary education. The girls we serve have high goals for themselves, and we have high expectations for world leaders who can help them. And then third, we believe girls should speak for themselves and tell leaders what they need to learn and achieve their potential. We amplify girls' voices and share their stories through Assembly, our digital publication and newsletter. In 2014, Malala won the Nobel Peace Prize in recognition of the work the Malala Fund has done to support women's rights to equal access to education, and she is the youngest ever Nobel laureate. The Nobel Peace Prize website writes, "Currently residing in Birmingham, Malala is an active proponent of education as a fundamental social and economic right. Through the Malala Fund and with her own voice, Malala remains a staunch advocate for the power of education and for girls to become agents of change in their communities." Hey guys, it's Allie here. Every 2 months, we're going to be raising money for a new cause that supports the mission of feminism. For October and November, we have chosen the Malala Fund. On their website, they write, "Your gift today is an investment in Malala Fund programs that help girls around the world go to school. From creating safe spaces for girls in northern Nigeria, to training young Pakistani women as activists, and providing STEM education to Syrian refugees." So I want to encourage you guys to consider donating today. For the months of October and November 2019, for every review the Mrs. Feminist podcast receives on Apple Podcasts, we will be donating $1 to the Malala Fund. So leave a review. It's super easy. Make sure you do that today. The other thing you can do is you can visit my Etsy shop. I've put the link in the description to this episode to find a special digital download of my favorite Malala quote, which is, "Let us pick up our books and our pens. They are the most powerful weapons." This print is $5 and the proceeds will also be donated to the Malala Fund. So get connected today. There is so much more that could be said and shared about the incredible Malala. I've been so inspired by her tenacity and courage. One thing I didn't mention earlier is that she actually went back to Pakistan to the place she was shot and again advocated for books over bullets. I don't know if I could do that, but that's just such a powerful way to reclaim that space. So hate always loses, and Malala is a true testament to the power of education and the power of words, just like we talked about last week in our episode on just how powerful words are. So if you want to learn more about Malala, there's a number of places you can go to do so. First, visit themalalafund.org. You can sign up for her newsletter there. It's a really great place to get connected and get more information. You should also go to your local bookstore or library and get a copy of I Am Malala, her autobiography. I just picked it up and can't wait to read it. If you have children you want to introduce to the incredible Malala, she wrote a children's book too. It's called Malala's Magic Pencil, and it teaches kids about how they can make the world a better place. And then finally, check out the documentary about her titled He Named Me Malala. I'm watching it tonight, and I can't wait to learn more. To end today's episode, I just want to remind you guys that Malala is only 22 years old. So don't let anyone tell you that you're too young to make an incredible difference in this world, because she's a prime example of someone who's using their voice for good. And there's so many girls doing this across the world, and I'm just so proud of all of them. At the same time, don't feel like you have to win a Nobel Peace Prize or your life will mean nothing. The simple act of just learning about this and investing time in this and just trying to speak out against these very complicated issues and inequalities, that's powerful. So just bring light to things and do what you can to bring more good into the world, because that's all any of us can do and it's what we should do. And all of those small acts add up. So thank you again for tuning into the podcast. Remember to follow us everywhere at Ali Wolf. That's AliWoolfe. And please, please, please consider sharing this with your friends and family and that annoying uncle we mentioned last week. Each listen means a lot. So have a good rest of your day. Bye.